Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. This is David Foster, Executive Director of the Blue-Green Alliance. For those of you who don't know us, we're a national strategic partnership of 10 of our country's largest unions and 4 of its most influential environmental organizations with over 15 million members and supporters. In the last 2 presidential and vice presidential debates, it's been disappointing to us to see both Governor Romney and Congressman Ryan politicize efforts to build a strong green economy in the U.S. It's been disappointing because the clean energy economy is something that all Americans should work on together. We hope that today's president will help set the record straight. Today, the clean energy economy makes up a 5.3 trillion piece of the global economy, fully 10% of global GDP, and it's growing. Therefore, Americans simply can't afford to dismiss it or ignore it. We need to compete to lead it, and we need to win. So let's start by reviewing the record of the green investments of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The $90 billion of green investments in the Recovery Act were very successful, creating or sustaining at least 1 million jobs. Equally important, these programs leveraged private investment at the rate of $3 of private capital for every $1 of government support. A very important issue considering that U.S. corporations today have $2 trillion sitting on their balance sheets that are not being invested. So the Recovery Act was a powerful pull to get that capital off of the sidelines and back into the economy. Now, these investments ran across the entire U.S. economy and included such projects as a waste heat recovery project at an ArcelorMittal steel mill in Indiana, building a transmission line across Montana so that we could export American-made renewable energy, building mass transit lines in Dallas, Texas, and retrofitting U.S. federal buildings. They created jobs for carpenters, electricians, laborers, and steelworkers. They put people back to work in cement kilns and iron ore mines. And they put American dollars in American workers' pockets. Among other notable green investments were those that led to a resurgence of the domestic auto industry, which restored another 1 million jobs. Our auto industry is now thriving and building the fuel-efficient and electric hybrid vehicles the world needs. By 2030, the new auto standards for light-duty vehicles finalized this year will create an additional 570,000 jobs from doing nothing, with 50,000 of them in vehicle manufacturing and assembly. In a poll of 40 of the top economists in the country, 80% agreed that the 2009 Recovery Act created jobs and lowered unemployment. Only 4% of those economists polled disagreed. We would strongly encourage Governor Romney and Congressman Ryan to look at the facts and look at the consensus of economic opinion in the country before condemning the programs that have a proven track record of putting Americans back to work. Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that there are, conservatively, at least 3.1 million jobs related to the production of green goods and services. This further proves that the jobs of the clean economy are critical to our economy and our recovery. Manufacturing jobs represented 15% of that number, nearly double the proportion of manufacturing jobs when compared to the economy as a whole. This is where the jobs are now, and continued growth in these emerging industries like renewable energy, energy efficiency, modern transportation, and advanced vehicles means that one day every job in America will be a green job. That's why the Blue-Green Alliance came together to present a framework for a common-sense energy policy that will spur research, development, and deployment in renewables, energy efficiency, transmission, and distribution. Without a strong national commitment to clean energy, we'll be left behind. So our plan facilitates the transition to a stronger renewable energy economy in these 5 ways. Number 1, mandating increased production of renewable energy. Number 2, deploying the clean energy solutions currently ready for market. 3, developing a broader national strategy to bolster domestic supply chains. 4, improving the performance and energy use of our homes, businesses, and factories. And 5, expanding and modernizing an interstate power grid that will facilitate moving thousands of megawatts of clean energy to market. Now, as we speak, working people are manufacturing the iron and steel from recycled inputs, They're producing more efficient household appliances and making advanced vehicles and their parts. They're constructing plants that produce energy from renewable sources, and they're weatherizing and retrofitting homes and businesses. They're engineering and designing the newest green technologies, and they're collecting and remediating waste in America. So instead of doubling down on the approaches that led to the Great Recession, we need to double down on the industries of the 21st century. They're what will build a cleaner, more energy efficient, and more competitive American economy. And while we know that there's been a failure or two along the way, these industries are the ones that are creating more good jobs and represent a bright, shining light for the millions of Americans who are still searching for those good jobs that can support their families. And now I'd like to turn the phone over to Dale Brick, a senior policy advisor to the Natural Resources Defense Council Action Fund. Dale?
Thanks so much, Dave. I think, you know, what we're trying to do here is encourage folks to not politicize these issues and really pay more attention to what everyone's constituents are saying and the actual facts in the economy. And we know poll after poll in every region of the country that people want clean energy. Why? They want clean air and water for their kids. Of course, they want all the jobs that Dave was just talking about and that Gerald's going to talk about. And they just get it intrinsically that the future competitiveness of our country depends on us really getting out there and playing in the 21st century technologies in the energy arena and not just clinging tooth and nail to those 19th century technologies that we've been relying on for too long, and of course the issue of energy security. And people get it that it's just ludicrous to be wasting energy and not doing everything we can to help our people, individuals, homeowners, residents, but also every business in the country be more efficient. By definition, that means that we're more competitive. So this is really an economic development strategy for the country. And, you know, it's not just environmental people who are saying this and workers, but McKinsey a couple of years ago did a huge analysis on the energy efficiency slice of the clean energy pie and found $1.2 trillion business opportunity there, and that we could save on our national energy bill if we invested in cost-effective energy efficiency, $700 million a year. I mean, that is a huge economic stimulus to the country. But I want to just spend a couple of minutes on what does that really mean in real life, because we talk about energy efficiency and not everyone has a picture in their head about why it translates into all these benefits. But if you think about the $50 or $100 you send to your electric utility every month, and you think of taking a larger and larger slice of that, and instead of sending it to a power plant, which, you know, a dirty old coal power plant is a giant furnace that burns rocks. It doesn't take a lot of people. It's not high technology. And a lot of that money just goes out of state to import the fossil fuel. And instead, you're taking those dollars and paying plumbers, electricians, all the building trades to make every home, office, factory more energy efficient, perform better. That's dollars in the local economy and jobs in the local economy that otherwise you're not getting. And, of course, because energy efficiency is cheaper than everybody's saving money on their energy bill, that's another stimulus into the local economy, especially for the lower and middle income, where you free up that money. It really makes a big difference. And the last thing I just like to have people focus more on is the record of the clean energy economy that we already have. This is not some pie-in-the-sky future dream. These are real jobs, real companies that are often busy, you know, doing their work and not out there paying lobbyists to advocate for themselves. They're actually just doing the business of creating the economic recovery that we're, you know, to the extent that we're experiencing it in this country already. And I just want to give a quick plug to Environmental Entrepreneurs, who puts out a biweekly tracking of clean energy jobs announcements in the country that has lots of great analysis and a story from every region of the country almost every week. And just some, you know, Dave touched on some of this, but, you know, our wind production has doubled. Their investment in solar has tripled. 1 million homes weatherized. And even just in the utility industry has tripled its investment in energy efficiency over the last few years. And that's, you know, all accruing to the benefit of businesses and just everyday people who pay energy bills every month. And the reason that that's happening is because of policy. Policy matters, not because the government is picking winners and losers, but because the government is trying to set rules that will create level playing field, which we've never had in this country in the energy sector, and create the conditions needed for these new technologies to come and compete against the incumbents that have, been hogging more than their fair share of the market because of things like market barriers and perverse regulation that we see, for example, in the utility industry in many, many states.
Thank you very much, Dale. And now I'd like to turn the floor over to Gerald Nicholson, who is the president of IUE CWA Local Union 86114 in Washington, Missouri, where he works for CG Power Systems. Gerald?
Thank you, Dave. As Dave said, my name is Gerald Nicholson. I'm the president of IUE CWA Local 86114, CG Power Systems in Washington, Missouri. We manufacture transformers for both the wind and solar industries. In the last 4 years, CG has expanded, built a second manufacturing facility, hired an additional 150 union workers, an additional 70 salary workers, to the point now that we have about 325 hourly workers and more than 100 salaried workers. It's kind of disturbing to me watching the presidential and vice presidential debates where Governor Romney and Congressman Ryan have attacked the investments that were made in the recent years in clean energy. They've talked about the non-success stories, but they don't talk about the success stories of how America has been, scaling up renewable energy and creating good jobs. They only look at the few points that they have in order to try and score some political points. I tell people my job is real. When they ask or say they can't find green jobs, they can't find, things like that, I invite them to come to my plant in Missouri where myself and my coworkers are manufacturing, transformers in the energy field and in the clean energy markets. I'm proud of what I do. I'm proud of the place that I work. In fact, the company that I work for has been producing clean energy for the wind industry since 2001 and for the solar energy industry since 2005. Like I said, we've expanded. In the last 2 years, 50% of our production has been in the renewable energy market. But with the fear of the production tax credit looming not being extended for the wind energy, it's kind of slowed down on the wind side here lately to the point where, we're working 40 hours a week. But a lot of times, we're used to working those 40-plus hour weeks because of, so much incoming product and so much of it being in the renewable energy aspect of it. I'd like to focus on the jobs that we can create in the clean energy economy and not tearing down these industries. I hope tonight's debates will be a little different on the aspect of clean energy, one that focuses on the success stories and jobs like mine, where we've created more jobs, good paying jobs with good wages, good benefits, in the area where I live in. And the fact that, not only that, we're also helping the environment based on, the fact that I'm an avid outdoorsman, and I appreciate the fact that what I do is helping the environment. Americans really need to know the facts about green jobs, that they are here, they are real, and that we can build more of these jobs, and move on and get away from all the petty politics that we've got out there. And, let's push forward and let's get this production tax credit renewed.
Thank you very much, Gerald. And now I'd like to turn it over to our last speaker, Leo Girard, the International President of the United Steelworkers and co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance Board. Leo?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just say that I'm excited about being on this call. For a number of reasons, but first and foremost, I'm excited about the opportunity to clear up the dishonesty, the fundamental dishonesty that came out of the Romney-Ryan campaign or the Ryan-Romney campaign. You're never quite sure who the leader is in that crowd. The fact of the matter is when they attempted to attack the president's investment in clean energy, it was a gross misrepresentation of information. In fact, of the money that the president allocated to the development of 21st century green energy, the failure rate was about 4%. That is a much, much more successful, if you want to call it, opportunity than anything that Bain has ever done, which was run by Romney. The Bain failure rate is much higher than 4%, so the hypocrisy of these two guys I view as an opportunity to clear up by simply telling the truth about the kind of results we've had as a result of President's investments in green jobs, green economy. And when you tie that together with the President's position in rescuing the auto industry, and he didn't rescue the auto industry without conditions, one of the conditions that they drove was the renewable energy was going to be part of the CAFE standard. I should say that they drove up the CAFE standard higher than it's ever been. They started to invest in batteries and modernize batteries for future battery-operated cars, and those are both going to be contributors to a much greener economy. And the reason I want to raise the issue about the vehicles is that now that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler are back on top in the steelworkers union, we have 350,000 members that make something that could end up in an automobile. And so the president just didn't resuscitate the auto industry. He resuscitated with a green agenda of rising the CAFE standards and creating electric cars that will be there and developed and researched into the future. In addition to that, there were millions of jobs created by the Recovery Act. And many of those jobs were, as Dave Foster pointed out earlier, in different segments of industry. And the one thing that we need to realize is that the Recovery Act created or saved between 3 to 3.5 million jobs, and it added over $500 billion to GDP. And part of the reason that that came about is because the recovery money was leveraged 3 to 1 on average, but sometimes even 4 to 1 and 5 to 1 on average. The other thing that we need to recognize is that most of the rest of the industrialized world, whether it's small countries in Scandinavian countries, whether it's Brazil, whether it's China, whether it's Japan, whether it's Canada, all of the rest of the major industrial countries, small and large, are investing hugely into the new energy of the future, 21st century energy, clean energy. And if we follow the Romney Ryan approach to this, America will get left behind. And I think that that's been tremendously important. We're putting thousands of workers back to work. David Foster made reference to a facility that we got invested in ArcelorMittal Steel. But on top of that, a windmill has 8,000 parts. It has 200 tons of steel. So for building a windmill, a car has about 800 pounds of steel. You build a windmill and it has almost 2.5 times as much steel in it as one vehicle. But it has 8,000 parts. Many of those parts are sophisticated. They're large. They're also made of different kinds of metal, copper wire. Everything that goes into those wind turbines. You look at solar panels. So all of those things, geothermal, fixing our grid, our transmission grid. My friend Carl Pope used to show that you could take a cell phone and you could dial and go in an instant, be around the world talking to someone. And he would point out that happened because it was the most sophisticated switching devices on Earth. Yet you go to the energy grid, and we're still doing switching on the grid with the switching equipment that was invented in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So modernizing our grid would be energy efficient, and we'd create millions of jobs. Creating high-speed rail, fuel efficient, energy efficient, create millions of jobs, so that the president is on the right track, and we need to make sure that happens, that we keep pushing forward, and that we don't give up and not let the dishonesty, fundamental dishonesty, and misrepresentation of the facts succeed. And that's why I'm happy to be on this call. So I'll turn it back to you, David.
Thank you, Liel. And Eric, I'll turn it over to you to take questions.
So the energy policy, the Blue Green Alliance energy policy that is referenced in the call is available at bluegreenalliance.org/21stCenturyEnergy. In a moment, I'll be opening up the media line for questions by taking us out of the presentation mode. And once that occurs, please state your name and then outlet and then ask your question. After you ask your question, the media line will be put on mute until we're ready for the next question or a follow-up question.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
We are now open for questions, so state your name and your outlet. And if you're muted, push. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ed Felker with Energy Guardian. Could Leo and David address a little bit more in detail the A123 bankruptcy today and what you expect to hear from the Romney campaign and how you think the president should address that either in the debate tonight or in the days to come?
I'm going to go back to the presentation.
This is Dave Foster. I'll kick that off. Well, I fully expect that the Romney campaign will try to cite another business bankruptcy as proof that green investments the economic investments of the recovery plan were a failure. But I think, as we pointed out, the failure rate at Bain Capital was far higher than the failure rate of the advanced energy investments that the federal government made through the Recovery Act. And so for instance, 23 investments that the Department of Energy made in its advanced energy technology program, there were only three bankruptcies out of all the investments together. This particular investment came through the advanced auto loan program, which actually predated the recovery program and was an investment vehicle that was created under the Bush administration. So I think it's important to sort of keep those facts straight as the origin of the program and what an individual business bankruptcy showed. And obviously, to put it in the context of Bain Capital, the Wall Street Journal reported quite some months ago that out of the top 10 business deals that Bain Capital made under Romney's leadership, four of them resulted in bankruptcy at a time in which he made profits off of every single one of those bankruptcies. In this case, bankruptcy is clearly regrettable. It's a price that innovation frequently pays, but looking at the actual context of the overall record of these programs, they're a very small blip on the radar screen. Lastly, I just mentioned that the A123 bankruptcy wasn't just a question of government investments being lost, but that there were private investors who were hurt by the failure of this company as well, and that one of the conditions of the loans provided by the federal government was that private investors put up the same amount of money. So there were private investors who shared in this risk, and I think that's a very important piece of the story to be told.
The thing that I would add to what David said, and just maybe not add to it but reinforce it, that the Romney-Ryan campaign, I think, is really based on a tripod of dishonesty and misrepresentation on a number of fronts, and right now we have to be talking about renewable energy, and they want to try to focus on one or two failures that have happened out of literally dozens of investments. And those dozens of investments that succeeded not only paid for themselves, but created thousands upon thousands, if not millions, of jobs. And to try to focus on the small percentage of failures, again, is a fundamental dishonesty, because Romney runs around talking about his success as a businessman. He may have been successful in creating wealth for himself, but his failure rate is much higher than the Recovery Act's investment in clean energy were.
Well, and if this is Dale, if I could just add one point to that. I mean, the point of these programs is not to ensure that every single company that participates in them survives and is profitable. It's to transform the market and help commercialize these technologies so that the U.S. economy can benefit from being a major player in these technologies. And the price of advanced batteries has almost halved over the course of this time. I mean, that's the goal. So the goal, we're meeting our goal. We're commercializing these new technologies. There's many, many companies in this game in the U.S. There's a lot more play in the U.S. than there was before. And we're getting what we want. Yeah, nobody wants any individual company to fail, but that's not the measure. The measure is, are you achieving your goals by changing the marketplace and having a bigger role and more jobs in the U.S. for the investments that you're making?
And as I said earlier, this is you, Dredd, again. I want to drive this point home again. As I said earlier, when you combine the renewable energy, energy conservation with the revitalization of the auto industry, when the president said, I'll help survive, but you've got to commit to the highest CAFE standards ever in the history of America. So not only did he save the auto industry, but he forced the auto industry to reevaluate itself and give us high CAFE standards, which means the price of, and the amount of money we spend on fuel will go down, even though the industry keeps jerking us around and driving up fuel prices that need to be investigated once the election's over.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me thank our panelists for time with us. Thank all of you for coming on the call. And please focus on these issues tonight. And we're ready for follow-up responses should you have any questions after the debate tonight. Thank you very much.